Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And welcome in Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway, the week rolling along. Glad to have you with us today. A lot to get to, as always, and let's get right to it. The guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news coming your way. A lot to get to. There's an updated mock draft, and it doesn't have Romeo Langford where you would like to see him. We'll talk about that. Also, some IU basketball stuff. Jawan Morgan has been busy with NBA workouts. He's gotten some opportunities last week and now this week to work out with some NBA teams. We'll review those. The IU football has some news of interest. A local player from West Washington High School, just a little to the north in Camelsburg, makes a commitment yesterday on the same day he received a scholarship offer from Coach Tom Allen. So we'll talk about that and a couple other nuggets as well today. Big Ten making an announcement yesterday about connections, the postseason bowl games that they have connections with, of course, the Rose Bowl, but many others as well. We'll review those as we kind of start to think a little bit more about football as we get to the summer months. And also, I didn't cover this or mention this yesterday, but a new chief executive, a new commissioner for the Big Ten Conference, and it's a very interesting hire. I'm sure that maybe you've seen it. It's a pretty big story on the sports stations, but a big story for the Big Ten as well and the future of the conference, and we'll cover that here in just a second. Also, Summer League basketball continues tonight. There was a big night of games last night at New Albany High School and at Hazelwood Middle School. Tonight the games are at Moore High School and also at Christian Academy of Louisville tonight, and they return back to New Albany on Thursday night. But some big games. Silver Creek and Ballard played last night. I think it ended in a tie. They played through the overtime and agreed they weren't going to play the sudden death overtime that is so common in summer league basketball for that second overtime period. But it was a great game, I understand. Mayo was in action. I saw a great game with Mayo and Floyd Central last night. And it's fun to think about. It's laid back basketball. It's not near what it'll be like when the regular season begins and the teams have time to prepare and some of the lineups come together a little bit better than what they are right now. But it is fun to think about, and it's fun to watch some of the great players we have in this area on both sides of the river in the summer game. Some of these fans get into it. I tell you this stuff because I think you'd enjoy it. It's $2 admission, so if you come out Thursday when it's back on this side of the river, you might enjoy it, and try to keep you updated of the schedule every day. So we'll talk about the schedule for tonight coming up in the headlines as well. Let's take a look at those Hoosier headlines, and don't forget that you can drop by the Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany, and you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham. Headlines today, a number of things to get to, and of course a lot of those things involving IU basketball, a couple involving IU football. The first, Romeo Langford mock draft number 23 is where he's at in the latest mock draft out from Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated. They've got a pretty good mock draft. I mean, they're one of the good ones out there that I think is worth reading, but I have to think that that is way too low. Everywhere else has Romeo, at least the ones that I pay attention to, 13 to 17, number 23 for him. To me, from what I'm seeing, from what I'm reading, I would be just stunned if he's still around for the number 23rd pick later this month at the NBA draft. But who knows? But that's where he's at in a pretty reputable mock, so we'll see if that is adjusted in some of the others as they make updates between now and the draft as well. But by far, and the ones that I think are worth watching, the ones that have credibility to him, that's the lowest that I think you'll find him. Also, if you're interested, Juwan Morgan, way outside of the first or second round. I think the Sports Illustrated mock draft guide had Morgan as the number 96, best player in the draft, which would put him well outside of the only two rounds that the NBA draft consists of. So we'll see what his future holds. Again, likely maybe a summer league spot, likely trying to sign on as a free agent, make a camp roster, or I should say an early season roster for a team, and perhaps get in the league that way. If not, the G League, try that out. And, of course, eventually if you think that you're not going to get an NBA opportunity, he can probably make his best money by going overseas, over to Europe, and playing in one of the good European leagues over there where the money is pretty good and tax-free also if you're a foreigner on soil overseas. So interesting for Juwan Morgan that he's had some workouts. Last week, I believe it was the Phoenix Suns he worked out with on Friday. Then yesterday, he had a workout in Chicago with the Chicago Bulls. I saw a picture that Steve McClain, the former IU assistant coach years back under Tom Crean, now the head coach at Illinois-Chicago, he tweeted a picture of him and Juwan at the workout facility together. And then today, he's one of a handful of players that the Pacers are going to work out. The Pacers have had a number of draft workouts, 3, 4, 5, 6 kids at a time working out. A lot of times the media has invited. Greg Doyle told us a couple weeks ago that he was headed to one of the workouts, one of the draft workouts. I think in addition to Juwan Morgan today, Shiz Alston from Temple, Kai Bowman from Boston College, Taco Fall, everybody knows Taco from Central Florida, a kid from Florida State, and Elijah Thomas from Clemson are who is due in for the workout on this Wednesday, June 5th. And again, the Pacers always do that. They have probably, I would say, and I don't know, don't follow it that closely, but they seem to have a lot of workouts, bringing in not just a couple kids, a couple players each workout, but a number of players, and they are continuing that again once this season. IU football, a couple notes to pass along. Pretty cool. A local native, a little outside of our immediate coverage area, but at West Washington High School in Camelsburg, Indiana. His name is Caleb Murphy. He announced his commitment to Indiana yesterday, and it came in the evening. Interestingly enough, Tom Allen had offered him a scholarship earlier in the day on Tuesday, and Murphy got on it immediately and wanted to make the commitment. I was reading a couple stories about Caleb Murphy. He obviously, when you hear him talk about Indiana, has dreamed of playing at Indiana for a number of years. He talked about going to lots of IU games over the years. Of course, West Washington is really not that far from Bloomington, but he loved the culture of the team, the coaches, going to major in media as well. So neat to see anytime a Southern Indiana kid in any sport commits to Indiana, neat to see them stay in the in-state school. So Caleb Murphy will be someone that will be fun to follow the next high school football season now as an IU commit for the football program. I think in the 2020 class, he is the number 5 commit, so the 5th commit in that class. And of those 5 that are committed to Hoosier football for the class of 2020, who will be seniors next year, 4 of those 5 players, including Caleb Murphy, are in-state players as well. So a lot of in-state guys already committed to the Hoosier football program for next year. Speaking of football, it's time to start thinking a little bit more about football and this Indiana team. A lot of unknowns, but I also sense some excitement about the recruiting right now and where this program with certain positions and certain newcomers could be headed. The Big Ten yesterday announced future bowl lineup for postseason games. And this is always interesting to see what conferences are going to have what affiliations with certain bowls. The Rose Bowl, obviously, Pasadena, the chief bowl for the Big Ten Championship, Capital One Orange Bowl, Citrus Bowl, Outback Bowl, Las Vegas Bowl, Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl, New Era Pinstripe Bowl, IU knows a little something about that, the Belk Bowl in Charlotte, North Carolina, the Cheez-It Bowl in Phoenix, the Red Box Bowl in Santa Clara, and the Quick Lane Bowl. That's another bowl that's had some ties to the Big Ten Conference now for a number of years, it will be played in Detroit, Michigan. So a number of bowls that the Big Ten has connections with where potentially its teams could find themselves playing later in the college football season for the 2019 season. Also yesterday, Big Ten with a big hire, Kevin Warren, the former chief operating officer of the Minnesota Vikings. He's leaving that job to take over as the successor to Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney. The presidents and chancellors met. The annual meeting was on Sunday. They announced Monday that a press conference had been scheduled for Tuesday to introduce the new commissioner. I'd seen a couple different names out there for potential picks for that spot. One was a guy from Northwestern that a lot of people I thought think was the front runner for that position. So I do think there was a little surprise in the announcement that Kevin Warren of the Vikings is going to take over the Big Ten Conference. He also is the first black person to become the commissioner of a Power 5 conference, which is a great thing. And so pretty cool stuff from him. And it was very interesting to hear from him and to hear some of his goals for the conference as well moving forward. But changing times for the Big Ten Conference. And, you know, Jim Delaney, I think the number one complaint people in Indiana, and I think this probably extends especially on football outside of the state of Indiana, is that the Big Ten plays football games in prime time now on Fridays, which has always been reserved for years and years and years as a big high school football and in the winter a high school basketball night. Those things still matter, I think, a lot to us here in southern Indiana. And again, it wasn't just Jim Delaney, the commissioner, although I think he drove that ship because of television rights and other things that go along with it. But I've seen a number of people say that. That is something that I think a lot of the fan base, given especially the popularity of football in some of the Midwestern states and the popularity of basketball here in Indiana, that you'd like to see that Friday night reserved for high school, for something different from the college game, and not be a college night where you've got to worry about losing fans and conflicts. And I can think of a number of times last season that we had to alter or change our high school football coverage because of some IU opportunities that they played on Friday, which is fun. It's, I'm sure, good for some people, but high school football has always been kind of the Friday night deal. So we'll see if that ever is something under the new commissioner that comes back to the discussion table or not. But that's probably one of the biggest complaints. I'm sure a lot of positives. I know a lot of positives under the tenure of Jim Delaney, but that's one, I'm sure, small thing overall that stands out as something that has changed recently under his leadership that we all may not agree on. That's a look at the headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Stay with us. A lot to come. Stu Jackson of TheHoosier.com is going to join me. We'll talk IU basketball and a lot more later in the program. Also, Joe Decker, the coach at Silver Creek. Silver Creek obviously headed to the Semi-State on Saturday. His Dragons team playing some good baseball, and they will take on a very solid Edgewood team who apparently has a really good young pitcher of their own that is expected to throw on Saturday. We'll preview that game. We'll talk with the Silver Creek coach coming up here in just a bit. And then later in the hour, Craig Pearson, he's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. He's going to be in studio with me to recap some local headlines. We'll again unveil some names for the Netsby Awards coming later this summer in a couple different sports when Craig is with us, and catch up on the very latest in local sports items. So a lot to get in between now and the top of the hour. Stay with us. We'll be back for more. This is a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program. Stu Jackson, he covers men's basketball, football, and recruiting for the Indiana Rivals site, TheHoosier.com, which is part of the Rivals and Yahoo Sports Network. Stu, a couple things to get to with IU football and IU baseball before we jump into some basketball stuff today. Major League Baseball, Matt Gorski drafted yesterday by the Pittsburgh Pirates late Monday night. I think I read another story earlier. He was a little surprised that he was taken on day one of the draft.
Yeah, it was interesting. Mike Miller of the Bloomington Herald Times had a great story about this when he was talking to Matt about how this all went down. Basically, he was packing up his apartment, his off-campus apartment on Monday, by himself, basically, because his advisor told him he likely wasn't going to get picked until the second day of the draft, which would be Tuesday. And then to his surprise, ended up getting the phone call from the Pirates on Monday evening. So, late Monday night, I should say. So, yeah, a little bit of a surprise, but, kind of a bittersweet one, I guess, just because, he couldn't really experience it, I think, like he probably wanted to the way he wanted to with friends and family, but still exciting for him nonetheless because, being a top 60 pick and also a second-round pick is obviously a really big deal.
And he becomes the highest-drafted Hoosier in baseball since former catcher Kyle Schwarber went fourth overall to the Cubs. So not quite near as high as Schwarber, but pretty good to go the first day. And, again, I'm sure a happy surprise for him after on Sunday what was a crazy comeback for Indiana and just an absolutely wild, wild finish to that game.
Yeah, Louisville closer Michael McAveen, who was just, throwing heat on the mound, routinely in the mid to upper 90s with quite a few of his pitches once he entered the game, disagreed with a ball call that led to a full count and simply just told the home plate umpire that he thought the call was horrible and without getting a warning gets tossed from the game. And then Ryan Feinman, who is, the batsman McAveen was facing, he doesn't like the call. That ends up being, that ends up resulting in him striking out looking and being the final out of the game. And that led to, a contentious moment between him and the umpire and also the umpire and one of IU's base coaches, Casey Dykes, as well as head coach Jeff Mercer, and then the teams obviously, had those frustrations boil over a little bit and with confronting each other at the end of the game. No fights or anything, but, maybe a few words exchanged here and there, just heat of the moment kind of thing. But, yeah, quite a crazy way for that game to end. Certainly an exciting game. It was an exciting weekend of baseball overall, I think, if you had a chance to watch IU or any of those teams, really. But, yeah, wild finish to that. And now at this point, it's waiting to see, for IU at least, it's waiting to see who gets picked in the draft and how that affects their outlook for the 2020 season coming up.
Stu Jackson of thehoosier.com, my guest. We're talking a couple IU baseball and football nuggets before we get into basketball stuff coming up here in just a bit. Another thing from football, from the football side of things, I should say, a somewhat local player from West Washington High School, Caleb Murphy, committed to IU yesterday. Interestingly enough, he committed Tuesday evening. Sounds like the offer to him officially came from Coach Allen earlier in the day on Tuesday, and based on some of the quotes and coverage you had of his commitment to be a Hoosier, becoming an IU football player has been a goal of his now for many years. And so when he finally got that official scholarship offer, I know he was at the camp that Coach Allen had on Saturday, but he didn't take long to officially let the school know and the coaching staff know this is where he wanted to be.
Yeah, that was the most interesting part to me, because normally when I see these tweets pop up on my timeline from kids announcing their decision, they'll just mention that they've committed. Rarely is it that they not only have they gotten offered, that they've both committed and also received an offer, simultaneously, putting both of those things in there. And so I was like, wow, that really developed quickly. So yeah, performed pretty well, it appears, at Tom Allen's camp that was held in Bloomington on Saturday, and is being recruited basically as a jumbo athlete. They kind of had a similar player in the 2016 class, and Michael Ziemba, who played both tight end and defensive end for his high school when he was playing high school ball down in Florida. Basically recruiting him as an athlete and sort of figuring out where he would play later on, as he developed in his college career. And that's sort of the approach they're taking that the staff is going to take with Caleb. He'll probably start on the defensive side of the ball, specifically defensive end, but he could potentially switch to offensive line or tight end depending on, you know, positional needs and also how he develops. So he'll be a pretty interesting prospect to watch because of that, you know, just the versatility he has and where he could potentially end up on IU's roster.
Caleb Murphy becomes the fifth player committed to IU in the class of 2020, so seniors for the next and the upcoming, really, high school football season that'll be here before you know it. I believe four of those five players in that class that are officially lined up to be at IU are all from within the Hoosier State.
Yep, the four of the five are from the state of Indiana. The only one who's outside of the state but still a Midwest guy is Rayshon Williams, a four-star wide receiver from Detroit King High School in Detroit, Michigan. So, but yeah, absolutely. A lot of, you know, in general, a lot of Midwest talent or a big Midwest flavor and mostly in-state flavor to this class to this point. Cameron Knight from Noblesville High School in Indiana, and then, of course, Luke Wigginton from Fort Wayne Bishop Dwenger, and then Ty Wise from Carmel High School, you know, rounding out this group in addition to Rayshon. So a lot of good Midwest talent and a good start so far in the 2020 class for IU.
Stu, it's no surprise to anybody that knows me or listens to this show on a somewhat regular basis that I'm a homer for basketball, and I think that's okay because our area, our state for the most part, is as well. But one of the things that is just so different for me when I read about football and football recruiting, such as Coach Allen's mega camp that was in Bloomington over the weekend, it's just the way that the recruiting structure works. And I know it's different for every sport. You could find a lot of differences with college baseball recruiting, and I'm sure with each sport that you really dove into how it comes together and when things begin to happen and how kids are located and how they're recruited, where they're watched at. But this camp is interesting to me that was conducted over the weekend. If I'm looking at the right thing, it was called the Mega Camp at IU. But it wasn't just IU's coaches there. Other in-state programs from maybe mid-major or lower-level schools, even I believe some non-NCAA schools were there as well. So it became like a clearinghouse almost for players at different talent levels, whether you were being looked at by IU or maybe you were on down the rankings or the ability a little bit. There was likely someone that may have been interested in you at that camp. Kind of a different approach to things, but pretty neat.
Yeah, that's one thing that Coach Allen is really big on, is just not only, you know, establishing and maintaining great relationships with high school coaches in the state of Indiana, because he was obviously one himself, you know, at one point in his coaching career, but also just, you know, as an opportunity for some of the smaller schools and colleges throughout the state to, you know, check out some in-state talent and even some talent from around the Midwest. It's really a win-win all around, you know, just because you're, you know, making high school coaches happy because you're giving, you know, several kids, you know, the chance to, you know, not only impress IU coaches, but, you know, if you know, even if they don't end up getting interest from IU, maybe the, you know, the camp gets them interest from, again, one of those smaller schools or something like that. So it helps out a lot of, you know, everybody involved, and it's a, you know, a win-win situation all around for, you know, again, the smaller colleges and universities that are involved with smaller football programs, as well as the high schools and, of course, the Indiana and its staff as well.
Talking with Stu Jackson of TheHoosier.com, IU football, IU baseball to begin our conversation, but I want to get into a little basketball now. Jawan Morgan, he's been busy. He had a workout last week at Phoenix, Chicago yesterday, and he'll be in Indianapolis today for a workout with a group of players that the Pacers are interested in. I know his name is not popping up in the first or second round mock drafts that are out there, so it's, I think, unlikely that he gets picked later this month in the June draft, but he is getting some workouts. He is getting the opportunity to be seen by some NBA teams. I know he's got more workouts coming, it looks like, and that's good because when the draft happens, even if he isn't selected, there are other ways to make an NBA roster, like getting a summer league spot out in Las Vegas at the Summer League in July and going the free agent route, trying to get on a roster early in the season, going to the G League, and now that there's some connections there, back and forth contracts are possible. So he's doing all the things he needs to do to have an NBA opportunity, and he's also getting some invites from teams to work out, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, it definitely sets him up to, in the event that he doesn't get picked in the NBA draft later this month, he'll at least have had the chance to make a strong impression before multiple NBA teams and evaluators and that sort of thing. Like you mentioned, there are several avenues he could take, even if he doesn't get drafted. I think the one thing in particular that could really help him, especially if he ends up being a guy that starts out in the G League, is the still relatively new two-way contracts that the NBA introduced with the G League teams, where there's rules in place that allow them to go back and forth and spend time with both the G League club and also its parent club at the NBA level. So, you hope that, that leads to an opportunity where he's picked maybe in the second round or something like that. But if he doesn't, again, there's still the Summer League for him and even the chance to work his way up and pay his dues through the G League if it comes down to that as well.
Talking with Stu Jackson of the Hoosier.com, part of the Rivals and Yahoo Sports Network. Romeo Langford, I mentioned this in our headline segment earlier today. I believe it was number 23 in Jeremy Wu's latest mock draft. He's consistently been 12 through 17 in most that I've seen. I think 13 has maybe been one of the more popular picks recently for him. So I was surprised because, that's one of the major mocks out there that does a really good job and has a good read on things. I was surprised to see them this close to the draft have him all the way down at number 23.
Yeah, Jeremy, he does a great job, and this isn't to discredit him by any means. He's just been, him and SI have kind of been lower on Romeo than most. I've seen him in that, late teens, early 20s range most consistently from them out of all the mock drafts that I've been tracking. So he's still, I think it's a, sure bet that Romeo's first-round pick later this month. I don't think there's any question about that. But it is pretty fascinating just to see the wide range of perspectives and opinions that some of these prognosticators have as far as, their projections and forecasts for, where Romeo will land just kind of speaks to, just the wide range of opinions, basically because of, how he ended up having basically playing through an injury, playing through a torn ligament in his shooting hand for the entire year and how that's kind of affected his perception. So for me personally, I would be surprised if he fell that far, but, I'm sure as you can probably attest to from, if you've ever watched the NBA draft before, we've seen some pretty crazy things on draft night and you never know until the day arrives.
Stu Jackson of the Hoosier.com, kind enough to join us on this Wednesday program. IU baseball, IU football, IU basketball as well. Stu, thank you for the time. We'll do it again very soon, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Matt. Appreciate it.
All right. Always good to talk with Stu Jackson of the Hoosier.com. You can follow him on Twitter at StuJTH.com. At StuJTH on Twitter. And of course, the Hoosier.com as well. Lots of good information there. A lot of the things we talked about, you can read about on the Hoosier.com. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to switch gears a bit. Joe Decker, the head coach of Silver Creek's baseball team, which is headed to the Semi-State this weekend, a one-game Semi-State. They're a game away from a return trip to Victory Field in Indianapolis for the 3A baseball state championship game. We're going to talk to him about his team and how well they've played so far in the tournament. We're going to talk about the upcoming opponent, Edgewood, who they will play on Saturday in Mooresville, a game that we will carry live here on the Big X Sports Radio. Stay with us for that. Also, Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, he will join me later in the hour as well. We'll be back with more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Wednesday program. Silver Creek Baseball, 23-6 on the season. They are champions, regional champions for back-to-back seasons, and they will take on Edgewood, who is 23-3, at 1 p.m. on Saturday at Mooresville High School. It's a one-game semi-state, so essentially Silver Creek is back to the Final Four in high school baseball in the 3A class. If they can come out of this weekend semi-state game, they'll return to Victory Field the following Saturday for a one-game state championship. And Joe Decker, the head coach of the Silver Creek team, is with me right now to talk about his team's success and the upcoming semi-state as well. And, Coach, it's been another great year for your team, and you guys had some injuries late in the regular season, even into the sectional round, that I think probably made things a little questionable for you. But you're getting healthier. Your team has won some big games over the last week and a half or so, and you're back to the semi-state for the second consecutive year.
Yeah, we it's great for our guys. You know, we have a lot of guys that returned from last year's team, but going through the last couple weeks with three starters not playing at all, you know, we probably could have rushed them back, but we just wanted to make sure they were healthy for sectional, so we just kind of held them out and to try to get them healthy for when it counted.
Talking with Joe Decker, the manager of the Silver Creek baseball team, you talk about the guys that are back from last year's team and what fun it was to follow you guys all the way to Victory Field in the state championship game. I've got to believe that success last year, playing in those big games and those big moments, it has to make things maybe a little easier to be the coach of a team as you get into big regional games and a big semi-state game this weekend when you've got kids, seniors, and others that have been through this before.
Absolutely. They, you know, they know what to expect. And I think their whole mindset, you know, coming into the season was to get back to Indianapolis. And they, you know, they were ready for the postseason pretty much the whole season. Kind of made it tough on us for the regular season to motivate them. They've been through this before. They know what to expect. I don't think, especially my seniors, I don't think they're overwhelmed by the moment. They've done a very good job of when things have gone bad or there's been some adversity, just going to the next pitch and playing. So, again, really happy for them, and they've handled the moment really well.
Coach, what would you say are some of the major strengths of this team? And I think some of them, if you followed your club, are probably pretty obvious. But for somebody that just seen your success and tracked the scores, maybe listened to the games over the weekend, but hasn't up close and personal known your team or watched your team play, what's made this team so tough to make runs now 2 years in a row deep into the state tournament?
It sounds really cliche, but our kids have great chemistry. It's something that we talk about, but I don't know as a coach you can really put a finger on how to make that happen sometimes. And these kids love each other, and they care about each other, and they're good friends. And I think last year's team and this year's team, that's the difference, that they really like each other and they're committed to each other. And, you know, everybody's good, but if you can get those teams to really buy into each other, it takes them to a different level.
Talking with Joe Decker, he's the head coach of Silver Creek. They're in the 3A semi-state this weekend at Mooresville High School. Let's talk a little bit about what's coming this weekend. You guys have won 23 games. Edgewood has won 23 games. Interestingly enough, their championship game was postponed because of some weather, and they had to finish that up or play that game on Monday night, which kind of delayed some things on not only who your opponent would be Saturday, but where specifically you would be assigned to play that game. Tell us about Edgewood. We know they're good. We know they've got a good pitcher. What can you tell us about the Mustangs?
Well, they do have a really good pitcher. He's only a sophomore. He's committed to Indiana. We've done a lot of homework trying to find out as much as we can about him. They have a center fielder that's also going to Indiana that's ridiculously good. And they're just, they're well coached. Coach Jones has been there forever. They're going to be good. And that's like what I told our guys yesterday in practice. Nobody bad shows up at the semi-state to play against you. They're going to be a very good team. We're going to have to play well. Tyler's going to have a good game on the mound. And I really suspect it's going to be a one-run, two-run ball game either way.
You talk about Tyler on the mound. Tyler Wheeler, obviously one of your seniors. He's going to play college baseball. And he was one of the players that was injured in that final stretch of the regular season and just had gotten healthy in time to go for the sectional. I hadn't seen him since coming back from the injury until the regional championship game that I sat in with Lee for on Saturday night. But I tell you what, watching him, you really wouldn't know that he missed too much being out. He didn't look like he missed many beats, if you ask me.
Right. Well, in the section, we pitched him in the sectional championship against Providence, and you could tell in the fifth inning he started to get tired. And he just battled through on the mound just from an endurance standpoint when you haven't pitched in, you know, 3 weeks. That made a big difference. And even in the regional, I think in the seventh, he started to get a little tired. So hopefully we've built his endurance. Hopefully this weekend he'll have another great outing. And he's just, I tell everybody, he's the guy you want on the mound. You know, when you have him on the mound, you have a chance against anybody.
Joe Decker is my guest, Silver Creek baseball coach. They will play in a semi-state game this weekend. Once again, you're making a run deep into the tournament. Once again, I know there's been great support from the Silver Creek community. I was at, again, the championship game there at the University of Evansville on Saturday night. Lee was there for the morning game as well. And we had so many people clicking on that stream, listening, that couldn't be there at the game as well. So the support, I know, has been great. Can you talk about, as Silver Creek's baseball coach, and you're an athletics guy all the way around, can you talk about what it's been like for this school to have a basketball state championship tucked in the middle of two big state tournament runs from the baseball program? And I know there's been some other athletic successes as well, but those are the big ones that stand out on a statewide level. Just an amazing run from Silver Creek sports here over the last year and a half or so.
Well, I always say it starts with, and you have good athletes. I mean, you have good athletes, and it definitely doesn't hurt. But I really think what part of our success at Silver Creek has been, we've got a ton of very good coaches, from Coach Hoffman to Coach Shane and the girls program, our cross country programs, volleyball is outstanding. I mean, we have some really, really good coaches all the way across the board. And they spend a lot of time and a lot of effort into developing their programs, but we also work well together. I mean, Brandon's guys, my guys, we know we need each other to be successful. And it's that old thing, success breeds success. I know that when we went to state last year, it kind of made it where, like, hey, that's possible. You know, we can get there. And then basketball, winning it this year was awesome. And so hopefully that lets everybody know that, we're just not a local. You know, local success is great, but we can also succeed at the state level.
Joe Decker, head coach of Silver Creek baseball. Coach, we'll be there for the broadcast Saturday, 1 o'clock, first pitch. Our pregame coverage will begin about 12:45 right here on the Big X Sports Radio. If you can't make it, join us for the call. We're looking forward to being there, Coach, and watching the Dragons play and hopefully continuing to move on in this state tournament. It's so fun to go to Victory Field. It's so fun in postseason sports, really at any level, but Victory Field and getting the opportunity to broadcast there and watch local teams in the recent years get the chance to play there is really special. So I can promise you that Lee and PK and all of our baseball crew are hoping that you can extend it out one more week, Coach.
I appreciate it. Thanks a bunch.
All right, Joe Decker with us. Good luck to the Dragons and the Silver Creek baseball team. They are the lone remaining team from our broadcast area that will play in the semi-state this weekend. Big stuff for his team and his program as they get ready, from all accounts, to take on a very good Edgewood team and a very good Edgewood pitcher this Saturday afternoon. We'll head to a commercial break. One final segment coming your way next. Craig Pearson, he's the sports editor of the News and Tribune, and he'll be in studio with me next right here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
you know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, final segment on this Wednesday program. Craig Pearson, the sports editor of the News and Tribune, is with me in studio as always on Wednesdays. And we've got a headline I missed, Craig, earlier today. Jeffersonville has a new football coach to replace Brian Gleason, who left to take the Paoli job. Isaac Parker, who's been an assistant coach now for a number of seasons. He's a police officer on the Jeffersonville Police Department. A lot of local connections there, alumni of the school. Going to get a chance to move from that assistant coaching spot to the head coaching spot for the Red Devils.
Yeah, very, very interesting hire to have someone that's an alum, and I would imagine cares very much about the program and its success, and it's going to be it's definitely a program in my mind that has a lot of potential. You know, you got a school at Jeffersonville's size, and you know the amount of quality athletes they have around that building, and you know it's just gonna be interesting to see if that program can grow and become a successful one, and you know who knows, you know, maybe it can become a high powered Southern Indiana football program someday.
And I know another thing I think very interesting about Jeff football is they're going back to 5A. So instead of being one of the smaller schools in 6A, competing with the biggest schools in the state, including the mega schools in the Indianapolis metropolitan area, they go to be one of the biggest 5A schools, which I think could be potentially a game changer for the Red Devils.
Yeah, at least for the next couple of years they will be. I mean, assuming their enrollment stays level or even grows a little bit, which I think former coach Glessing, that when we reported that they were going down to 5A, that he, the previous coach, you know, commented that, you know, he assumed that they would go back to 6A in a few years or whatnot. So, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be a fun couple of years there with them at 5A and going up against, you know, the Floyd and New Albany and the sectionals and that sort of stuff. So that's going to be it should be good for them, because I know 6A, you're going against Center Grove and team programs like that, or that have just been longtime football powers, you know, as far as the entire state goes. So that's a tough task, you know, for a rebuilding. I suppose that's an accurate term for their program right now, is, you know, a building program, and the chance to play 5A competition in the postseason is probably a better fit right now.
Absolutely. Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, my guest. Each week, Craig, we've been having you give us the insight on the finalists for the different sports that are going to be honored. Not only the finalists, but the actual player of the year in each of those sports. And the NETSBY Awards coming up, the Sports Performance Yearlies by the News and Tribune, coming up not too far down the pipe, right? June 18th is
June
where
18th.
We're at.
June 18th. We're right around the corner here, a few weeks away, or a little bit less.
Eastside Christian Church on Veterans Parkway in Jeffersonville. I've said this a lot when you've set in with us, but if you've not been to that event as a parent or an athlete or a coach maybe that's had someone there, or even just as a fan or family member of a certain player or athlete from a school, it is one of the most well-done events as far as how it's produced the kids to them. It's like, I guess, being nominated for an ESPY, you know, type thing. It's a big deal with music and lights and sound and special guest speakers and all sorts of things that go along with it. So it's going to be a big night. We'll have coverage of it here on the Big X Sports Radio with more to come on that. But, Craig, since we're talking some football today and new coach Parker taking over at Jeffersonville, maybe we could start with the five finalists for the football award. Three, off there today.
That's right, yeah. We just have three finalists for each category. You know, we'll have a winner, a player of the year in each sport. So football, we'll have Marion Lukes of Charlestown, Tyler Edwards of Floyd Central, and Caden Williams of Providence. All three guys had monster seasons running the football from what I've heard. So look forward to breaking that down and figuring out who our winner is there, and should should be obviously a good group of players there. And you know, another fall sport we'll be talking about is one of the, you know, more successful sports here in Southern Indiana is volleyball. So Kirsten Cooper of Silver Creek is one of our three nominees, as well as Allie Horning of Providence and Lexi Lester of Christian Academy. So, again, three very capable volleyball players there, so makes for a tough task to nail down a winner there.
And you did a good job by classifying that, from what I know, on those fall sports, because, again, Craig is still fairly new to the sports editor position at the News and Tribune. So when we mess this up for you, you can claim innocence if we pick the wrong person.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, we have a committee of guys that are going to be a big help here as they get together and discuss the winner for these awards. So I look forward to kind of observing some of those conversations.
Absolutely. We'll have coverage of the 2019 Netsby Awards. Again, it'll be live on Tuesday, June 18th, coming up here in a few weeks, really, from Eastside Christian Church in Jeffersonville, and we'll have more with our coverage, and we're going to have some neat stuff before the award program and, of course, during the program and after the program as well here on the Big X Sports Radio, as we do every year. So we always look forward to being a part of, again, a very first-class program put on by the entire News and Tribune team, including Craig and his sports team, many others as well involved in the production of that program. Craig, Summer League basketball is back. I'm trying to get you out to New Albany one night so you can watch some of the teams and get an early start for next season. But the crowds have been good, the games have been really good, and there's no reason not to be excited about the next high school basketball season already, even as we sit here in early June.
Yes, that's awesome. I need to get out on the court myself and play a little ball. That sounds like a good time this summer. But definitely looking forward to that. We had a little taste of that here recently with the Junior All-Star Games at Jeff and over in Kentucky. And, good to see Nan and Trey have such strong performances at home, as I'm sure you've talked about. And, absolutely. Look forward to seeing a lot of the other up-and-coming talent and that sort of thing to kind of get an idea of what our teams are going to have in the fall. So should be a good time.
And I saw that last week, I don't know how this has slipped through the cracks, but Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek, who was in action with the Silver Creek team last night, offered a scholarship by Xavier. So he adds a scholarship offer to his list. A lot of schools pursuing him early on in his career, but interesting to see an offer from Xavier come in. I'm sure that there will be many, many others to follow here over the next months.
Exactly, yeah. He's probably, I hope he's got a letter opener and everything else to help him deal with all the recruiting that he's going to receive over the next couple of years.
Absolutely. Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune. A lot of what we talk about, and you can read on the News and Tribune website, newsandtribune.com/sports. So plenty of stuff on there for you to check out. And again, as we close things out, Craig, good luck to Silver Creek baseball on Saturday.
Yeah, looking forward to covering that. Like you said, Edgewood, very talented, a team I've covered once or twice before in recent years. So, it should be a fun ball game. Very competitive. Looked like two very evenly matched teams to me. So,
should be fun. We'll have the coverage here on the Big X. They'll have Craig and his team the coverage in the paper. And that's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday program. Back on Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on the Big X Sports Radio.